Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years and I'll restore health and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now today. Ha ha ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord, mighty God. Well, shalom, Sister Renee. Hallelujah. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. Amen. Sister Beatriz, Sister Consuelo, shalom. And our new member, not new, she had listened to us before, Sister Tanis, welcome, amen, to our live program. For some reason, she was not able to log in, but she's here tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord, and we are so glad. I hope everyone can hear me fine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We're going to have an exciting program. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He is so good. He is so faithful. We serve such a wonderful God. Shalom, Brother Miguel. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are so grateful. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Sister. Highly appreciate it. Thank you, mighty Lord. We serve such a wonderful God, my brother and sister. We are living in the last days of the last days. Not just the last. We're in the last of the last. Thank you, Sister Consuelo. Amen. Before the returning of Jesus and the departure of his bride, the Lord is going to take us home. Shalom, Brother Miguel. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I have something exciting and encouraging from our Lord, our Father, and the Holy Spirit to share tonight, which I know it will encourage you very much, my brother and sister. So tonight, I want to go in prayer before we begin. Hallelujah. I've been praying. But I know, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, there's so much going on, and we need to put it in the hand of the Lord. Hallelujah. Whatever is it that you worry for or concern for, you want to put it in the hand of Jesus. Amen. That's what we want to do, my brother and sister. Trust the Lord with our lives, our family lives. Okay? Everything that we care for, take care of them better than we can. Amen. And it's just so important that we trust him through the process of the testing and trial that my brother and sister, he has put us through or have allowed us to go through, not alone because he is with us, my brother and sister. And that's a great plus. We're not alone in this. Don't you think that for a second that you are alone for what you're going through. Amen. Said, Lord Jesus, Lord Yeshua, mighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name, Yeshua name, Jehoshua name, Lord, that tonight, Lord, you take our burden, our worry, and our concern, Lord, and that you will increase and empower our faith tonight in Jesus' name, Lord. Mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, take care of our family. Take care of everything we care for in Jesus' name. And help us, Lord, to finish the race. Help us to finish this race, Lord, that there's nothing left for us to finish us according to what you're telling us and showing us. Help us to finish this race in grace in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. By his grace, by grace we are saved, the Bible says. It's not something that you did. It's something that he did, my brother and sister, on the cross. He gave, he proved his love to you and I by giving his life. If a friend loves a friend, the best way to show his love is by giving his life. And he told, he has shown us his proof. The proof of his love, he gave his life. So nothing is no one on this earth can have proven his love like Jesus has. And so that's why he is worthy to be worshipped, my brother and sister, and to be served, and for us to humble ourselves before him, my brother and sister. It is so awesome. He is such an awesome God. He is such a good God. Thank you, Lord. My brother and sister, before I go into the revelation of last night, this morning, I want to go into the word, because everything that we can think of or that we can go through, that we can talk about, that we can learn about this life and the life to come, Jesus says it's in his word. Okay? It's in his word, including the false prophet, including the false message, including the false Christ. Everything is in his word. No one escaped, my brother and sister, his word. It's all there, my brother and sister. So thank you, Lord. I wanted to focus on Revelation 21, because that is the new earth and the new heaven, which I have been asking the Lord to take me to and to show me, and he did. He did. I am glad he did, because there was nothing more exciting than being there. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. His promises are true. Amen. So Revelation 21 says, and I saw a new heaven. He saw new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there was no more sea. Thank you, Lord. My brother and sister, no more sea. Okay, I know that probably makes people sad that they think about there's no more sea. It's just things are not the way they are now. They're going to be better. I actually saw a lake in the new earth, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. A large river, we may say, large river, which it was awesome to see, my brother and sister. And God wanted me to see it. Thank you, Lord. Now, Isaiah. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 65 from verse 14 says, and behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation, my brother and sister, or as we maybe call it today, vaccination, because the word are so related, because I look up the word howl, my brother and sister. And the word howl is similar to this sound. And look at the word howl. To emit a loud, sustain the lawful sound characteristic of a member of a dog family. That's the meaning. And that's exactly the meaning that we just heard. My brother and sister, for those that are joining, that's in the book of Isaiah. And the howl, my brother and sister, that the prophet Isaiah said that they will have was a spirit for the vexation of spirit. That's Isaiah 65:14 out of the King James Bible. Now my Bible, King James, my brother and sister, praise the Lord. This is for the last days before the coming of Christ. As it was in the times of Noah, as it was, that's Luke 17, as it was in the times of Noah, in the times of Lot, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man, the coming of Jesus. Verse 15, and you should leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. Okay, he says he will slay them, and that he who bless himself on the earth shall be blessed himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth on the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former trouble are forgotten, and because they are hid from my eyes. my brothers and sisters, what God is going to do with everything we know about this life is, okay, they're going to be forgotten. The former things have passed away. There will be no more, my brothers and sisters. I've been praying for I don't know how many weeks, days, might be more than a week to the Lord to take me to the new earth. I said to the Lord, I was having my conversation with him and wanting to be taken there, my brother and sister. You've seen how it's been talking about the by seeing and so much more. I don't want to be concerned with this earth so much. I don't want to be concerned with the bad, evil decision the people are making on this earth. I want to be focused on Jesus and the plan he has for us, which are so awesome and so great, my brother and sister. And so last night, praise the Lord, the Lord came into my room. I had not gone into prayer yet. And I'm looking at the clock and I'm saying, I'm watching this Christian program, which it touched me so much, my brother and sister. The message was really touching me so much. The Lord came among that. And the Lord let me know he was there. And I said, Lord, is that you? And he says, don't I come to your life? Don't I come to your house? I said, yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. I know he had come with a purpose, so immediately I wanted to go into prayer with the Lord. I went into prayer with the Lord like around 1:09. That's my last thinking of the clock, my brother insisted. And when I went into prayer, okay, I opened my eyes, and I said, has an hour passed already? And it was 3:20 around in the morning. That prayer went, and I was praying. I was praying my language like I could hear myself. And it was like 3:20, like, huh? My brother and sister. And I know the Lord was there. All that time, the Lord was there. And there's something you may think, well, you probably fell asleep, brother. Shalom, Brother Strata. And no, because I had learned I rebuke sleep when I'm in prayer. Okay, and I even pray for myself. I'm rebuking any sleep of the enemy. So I know for a fact that I didn't go to sleep because I don't go to sleep in prayer like I used to years ago. Okay, I know to stay awake with the Lord. That's my responsibility, my brother insisted. So I knew I wasn't asleep. I knew I was praying the whole time. But time went by so fast. It just went by. And I said, okay. So I finished like about 3:30 in the morning. My brother and sister, then the Lord still was there, went to the bathroom, came back to bed, went and sleep, spoke very little to the Lord in my bed as I laid down. The only thing I know, I was out. He took me out, my brother and sister. And when he did, I opened my eyes, and he has taken me to the new earth. And when I was in there, it was a cloud where I was. And the cloud was a cloud of glory of God. And the cloud of glory was a cloud, a golden cloud of glory, my brother and sister. I could not see cloud because it was so thick. I was allowed to look outside the cloud, and when I looked, because I wanted to see, and God knew everything I was thinking, because inside the cloud, let me tell you, what is it to be in the presence of God? I was full of love. Full. I was one with love. I was one with peace. I was one with joy, my brothers and sisters. And you cannot worry about anything of this life. Cannot. It's impossible for you to worry there. You are so loved. You are in the pure love of God, my brother and sister. And you are full of life, energy, strength, like you cannot even imagine. It's beyond human understanding, his glory, my brother and sister. You don't want to move, and you don't have to move when you're in that glory, because you are in so much love, so much peace, my brother and sister, in so much protection. It's like God in his glory is hugging you as a father hugs a child in his presence. And you are so loved. His love is tangible. You are so loved by him that you don't want to desire to get out of his presence at all. You know you're there, and you are so loved by him. And if you choose to come out, you can. My brother and sister, you can. It was so much I didn't want to come out of it. I took my head out of the glory cloud, and I put it back in, and I said, I don't want to come out of his presence. But it's not my time yet. It was not my time to be there, because this is the new earth, my brother and sister. But God allowed me to do so, and I look at the earth. I saw this large river, I call it lake, and the water, everything was so peaceful. Not a single fly that can harm you. Not a single animal that can harm you. Not a single human that can harm you. Not a single fallen demon that can harm you. It is total peace in that place, in presence of God, everywhere. His presence, as Isaiah says, cover the whole earth. His glory cover the whole earth. In the new earth, everything is new. The grass is new. The trees are beautiful. They're new. Everything you see is new. The former things have passed away here. They're all new now. He's making everything new like a life, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Shalom, reverence. 18. He's making everything new for us, you and I. Father, please touch the heart of your sons and daughters that are listening. Touch them. Amplify their view and understanding of you. Father God, of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, and Yeshua, and Jehoshua, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. He loves you. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And willeth for you to be with him forever. He makes everything new because he wants you to be there with him. He desires his children to be there with him. I heard him say one time, my brother and sister, repent every day. Turn from everything that is not pleasing to God. That is true repentance. And seek his will and not your own. Do what Jesus did. Be his disciple. Hallelujah. Be like your master, our Lord and Rabbi, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's follow his example. I thank you, Lord. In that glory, my son Joshua was coming out of the glory. I could see him coming through it. Grab my hand because I was standing there now. Astonishment. And he said, Dad, I want to go play, Daddy. But Joshua, don't you see how wonderful to be in this glory? He's like, Dad, I know I was inside, Dad, but I want to go play in the park in that new earth. That's a great message. I've been praying for my children because their school friends have been vaccinated. And the vaccine is being offered to them through the doctors, been calling us to vaccinate our children, which we refuse to. My brother and sister, it's been a nightmare lately because we have three children. We got through two in the school system, and they want our children. But I've been praying day and night for their soul. I've been praying for them before God. And God remembers my prayer. And that's what God was showing me. He's going to be there for me not to worry or be concerned. Jesus already assured me this too. But I keep praying because the prayer of the righteous avails much. My brother and sister, I don't trust myself. I don't trust any man. I only trust Jesus. That is why we need to pray. If you only trust God, if you only trust Jesus, don't stop praying for your family. My brother and sister, trust him only. Trust him only. My brother and sister. Oh, just so incredible how he's going to make everything new. God is going to dwell among us. John said, and I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, because she has a husband, and his name is Jesus. It is prepared for him. It is adorned for him. Our life, we are still being prepared for him and adorned also for him. Everything he's given us, it is for us to stand righteous before him, my brother and sister. There's no other way. There's no other way. I ask the Lord to come and prepare me. Prepare me and come and take me. Because he's the only one that can do so. My brother and sister. The blood of Jesus, the Apostle Paul says, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is sin. When you and I repent our sin and ask him to cleanse us, my brother and sister, sincerely though, you got to repent sincerely. His blood cleanses us. It cleanses our body, soul, and spirit, if you ask him. His blood cleanses your heart, because in your heart you can keep things that are not of God. And the Bible says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That means you cannot see Jesus, neither the angel or heaven, lest he purify your heart. This has been made very clear to me by God. You got to ask him every day to purify your heart, to remove from your heart anything that is not of him, and say to him, Lord, I am willing to forgive anyone that ever hurt me. Help me, Jesus, to forgive them and cleanse and purify my heart. And let me tell you, he will not fail you. This is one thing about Jesus. He says to me years ago that he knows that we're not able to do these things by ourselves, lest we ask him. That's why he says to his disciple in John 15:4-5, without me, there is nothing ye can do. You can do. They cannot do it. People think they can do it on their own. Let me tell you, it's not possible. Jesus, even in his greatest Bible study, he taught to his disciple, he said that with God, including himself, the Father, the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. You need God in your life to help you overcome the things that sometimes seem simple, but are complicated and difficult. All the impossible things you're going to come across in your life, with God, he'll make them possible to you. We need to ask him for help, my brother and sister. I struggle forgiving those that hurt me, that I thought it was so unfair, and I thought into myself, why do I need to forgive these people when they were the one that hurt me? And Jesus said to me, I remember, you need to forgive them. But I said, Lord, I try. He says, ask me to help you. And I began to ask Jesus. And when I began to confess my unforgiveness toward these people, with the Lord's help, he began to help me to forgive them. And he began to heal me of my unforgiveness. Because not only I didn't know that unforgiveness not only hurts, but it wounds you. As a soldier in battle, when it's being wounded by bullets and it's on the floor bleeding and it's so wounded that it's not able to get up unless that soldiers get help. unless that soldier gets help, it's wounded in the floor. And it's so wounded in the floor so bad that unless someone extends a hand to help that soldier or even carry that soldier to the process of being healed, it is not possible for that soldier to stand or walk or get himself to the infirmary, get himself to the doctor, get himself to the clinic, the hospital. He's not able. He needs someone. That's someone that spiritually, there are many people on the floor of this earth, wounded and hurt, and they're not able to get up by themselves. They need Jesus to come and carry them and help them through the healing process, my brother and sister. And then they can get through it with Jesus' help. That's why Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. Even if you are wounded, deadly wounded, he will carry you, and he will take you to where you need healing, which is himself. He is the doctor of doctor, will perform, someone has said, even surgery in you, if it needs to. The only good thing is that his surgery, he had done surgery on me, and I felt no pain through the surgery. I felt more pain through the process of getting there than actually when he was doing the surgery, my brother and sister. Fear is what the devil uses to hold people back and getting close to God. The devil have made of God a God for people to fear and stay away. No. It's for you to fear and come closer to him, and then he'll take care of you. My brother and sister, the devil who is evil have tried to make God to look evil among humanity. And that's why many people, when they hear about God, they are afraid to come closer to him, because the devil has made sure that everything people have heard about God in there, even in the churches in the different place, are evil message. Oh, God will strike you. God will stop you. God will put you in bed. And all these messages that make people afraid of coming to God. But he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Reward is not just him giving you a gift. Oh, God can give you so much more than a gift. Healing, love, peace, joy. His reward is untold. To a lot of people, his reward is unknown. But to those that experience him, his reward is the best reward. His love and peace has no price. My brother and sister, I was in his presence this morning. My body was in my bed. And when he would bring me back to my bed, there was the cloud of glory that my soul was in it. My body was experiencing from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. My brother and sister, God is love. He loves you and I very much. I heard the voice of a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they should be his people, and God himself should be with them and be their God. God in the past has sent many messengers to people. Jesus went to the right hand of the Father and sent messenger, sent other men and women to preach his gospel. But when it's in regard of his people being with him, he's not sending a messenger. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit himself will be with them, my brother and sister. He's not sending a messenger to come and give you a hug. He himself will hug you. And you will experience his love one-on-one. My brother and sister, the only thing that when you are in his presence is not true anymore. There's only one. Hear, O ye Israel, the Lord your God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thine mind, with all thine strength. Everything in you, He will be in you and you will be in him and you will be one. Jesus said, believe me, Phillips, I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. My brother and sister, you are going to experience him one on one. But you will be one with him. That's what I experienced this morning. My brother and sister, I experienced God. I don't know of myself anymore because I was one with God and his love and his peace and his joy and his power and his anointing and his fire. I was one with him. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. And God should wipe away all tear from their eyes. This is one-on-one. And there should be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither there should be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No more pain, my brother and sister. A lot of people are in pain for many reasons, not counting the pain they have on their soul, which is also the pain also God talks about. A lot of people, when you talk about pain, they think about the physical body. Oh, Brother Elvie, some people can say, I'm in pain from the morning I get up from bed until the time I go to bed at night. I'm in pain. My brother and sister, some people are in so much pain that even in their sleep, they can remember the pain. God said, there will be no more pain. Death right now is taking the soul of many vaccinated. There shall be no more death. The last enemy, the Bible says, is dead. It's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. The lake of fire only have entrance. It have no exit. They can never get out of there. The entrance is God, his power, that he will bring them in there. And because he had no desire for them to get out of the lake of fire, they can never get out. I was telling my children that when the Lord took me with those demons are locked up in hell, it's like a metal square box, hundreds of feet of distance, of pure steel. Steel that I believe we had no machines to put a scratch on that steel on this earth. My brother and sister, those angels are locked up there, and they can hardly put a scratch on the steel from the inside they're in. My brother and sister, they wish it to get out. They've been there probably for millions of years until the day of judgment, the Bible says, in the book of Jude. But they cannot get out, my brother and sister, because they went to the daughter of man and chose from among them wife and had children, Genesis 6, which became giants. And those giants were bloodthirsty giants. Those sons and daughters are locked up under Atlantica, and they will be allowed to be removed, my brother and sister. Okay? They will be allowed to be removed. Hallelujah. To come out again when the great tribulation begins. They are frozen. I saw their body frozen. Their eyes, is they're still alive and their mind still function. They can still think. Right now, because the ice is melting and they can move their body, I saw the Lord show me them shaking their feet up and down, stamping their feet down, and they were making the earth shake. How many shake are around Antarctica now? Many. In those islands. Why? In the Solomon Island. Why? They're making these things happen. You said, Brother, are they that strong? Yes, they are. Some of their sites are about 1,000 feet high. Now you tell me if they're strong. My brother and sister, nothing like you ever seen, not even a movie. My brother and sister, and when God releases them, they're going to come to humanity and make humanity worship them on their knees. I heard them saying, worship me right now or I'll punish you. And those that refuse to worship them, oh, they'll torment them. They'll punish them like they've never been punished. They can cause pain to people like you cannot even imagine. I saw them one in hell putting like 10,000 bolts in someone's head. He put his arm over this person's head in hell. And he discharged through his finger and nail by 10,000 watts over this man, over my friend's head. He screamed like I never heard anyone scream on this earth, in agony, in pain. My brother and sister, God don't want anyone of the people on this earth to go through the pain and suffering. My brother and sister, God wants people to receive the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and give their life to him and come to him and confess Jesus as their Savior, Lord and Savior, my brother and sister. But humanity, this plan of God, salvation through Christ, has been offered to them for over 2,000 years. More than 80% of humanity has rejected God's plan. That's why over 80% of the people, most of the United States, have been vaccinated. That means they have rejected the plan of the cross. That makes it very difficult. Because I remember Father saying to Brother Larry that those that reject what Jesus did on the cross, he will make sure they suffer in the great tribulation. My brother and sister. Wow, that's incredible. Someone is telling me, I can already see some of the vaccinated starting to change like werewolf. Yes, my brother and sister. The situation is at almost at that level. The Lord assured me we were entering that season. Remember, I mentioned this on the Lord's Hour. We're almost entering that season. That's a really difficult time for humanity that we're entering in, my brother and sister. Because the Lord spoke to me and said, all vaccinated will change. All vaccinated will change. It's going to be difficult for those that have their families been vaccinated and seen them changing into beasts, where you have to run out of your kitchen, out of your house, and pray that they won't bite you or try to kill you, because they will. Now, the last video, yes, I placed on YouTube, they took it down. They said it's a misinformation to the COVID-19 and vaccination. The misinformation is the one they're providing. My brother and sister, that's what they, thank you, sister, they're providing misinformation. Where our information comes from the Bible is the truth. It's nothing but the truth. So help us, God, my brother and sister. We're giving God's word. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Every promise God has made to us is going to fulfill. There's not a promise that he has made that he's not going to fulfill. God is not a man that he will lie, nor the son of man that he will repent. He has made us mighty promises, and we can read them in our Bible. And he will make sure they are fulfilled. One thing I can tell you is, if God was not looking forward to fulfilling his promise, the devil, death, and all his demons already would have been in the lake of fire. My brother and sister, because they are detestable things to God. My brother and sister, if God would not fulfill his promise, they already would have been locked up. Humanity already would have been burning. This earth already would have been on fire, burning already. But because God made us promise, everything has to go according to his promise. My brother and sister, he fulfilled his word, and that's exactly what he's doing. He is fulfilling the promise he made. And every promise is coming to pass according to how he's spoken it to his prophet, my brother and sister. Verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. People like to charge on the earth even more than they have to, my brother and sister. I look at my water bill this past week, and I say, how can they be charging me over $2 a gallon of water from the city? That's practically what my bill is. And I said, this is horrible. How did it run so high? Well, God, I believe this is why God showed me this river of what free what he took me to on the earth. Because everything God's going to give us, as he said, the water of life freely. Plenty of water. It will give you life, and it's free, no charge. He's not going to charge us at all. He's going to give people full abundance in the millennium. You will never run out of food in the millennium. Whatever you love, whatever fruit you love in the millennium, you will have plenty of it. If you pick a pear or an apple or any fruit you like from the tree, the next day, I experienced this in the millennium. I share here on the Lord Tower. The next days, the same fruit, the same juicy, nice, beautiful-looking fruit you just ate that you enjoy so much, and you're like, wow, this tastes so awesome. This is so good. Next day, you go back to the cherry tree, if you like, and it's right there again, juicy, beautiful, tasty, sweet. Oh, and it cannot make you sick. It cannot make you gain weight neither, my brother and sister. Whatever fruit you love, God will make sure, the Lord will make sure it's available for you. Whatever animal you love, God will make sure it will be there with you, my brother and sister. Whatever bird, whatever dog, whatever cat you love, you're going to have it. And your children, you're going to get to see your children age. There's nothing that can kill your children there. There's nothing that can harm in his holy mountain, the Lord says. Dog, it's going to be so awesome. You're going to get to have your animal. You're going to get to enjoy your life. You can go to college in the millennium. What is the teaching in high school in the millennium and in grammar school in the millennium? You can start as a tutoring in grammar school. And I was looking for the teacher. I saw hundreds of children playing with one another. What it seemed to be outside the building of the school. And I remember saying, I wonder if it's the angel teaching them or the redeemer. I would like to see the teacher. And I go around the school and I'm looking for an adult who was teaching these children. And I could not find one. And I thought it was very interesting. For some reason, the Lord wanted me to look for a teacher. This desire for me to find a teacher there for the children, because as we think down here, if there's no supervision, these children are going to get in trouble. That's normal. You know, my children go to school. The teachers are watching them. The principal, the security in the school. You want to make sure someone is looking over them. The children, they get in trouble. Normally, that's in us. So I'm in the millennium, and I'm looking, where's the teacher? Who's responsible? Who's taking care of these children? And I'm going around the school. It was a large school, and the grass was beautiful, my brother and sister. And I'm looking. And so I stopped, and I said, "What? I cannot find a teacher in this school. Where is the teacher?" And then the Lord wanted me to look up. And when I look up, my brother insisted, I saw Father in his throne in heaven. And heaven was very close to the earth, as it was in the beginning. And Father from his throne was teaching these children. And each of them was listening to God and was doing what God was telling them to do. And they were learning. They were also playing with one another, and they were learning. And God, I looked at Father, and he gave me a smile. The Spirit, the God who made all the Spirit, him that is a Spirit, for God is a Spirit, says the Lord. And I looked at Father, and he smiled at me. And I can see these children playing. And I know a lot of people say, oh, you cannot see God. My brother and sister, there's a biblical explanation why and how. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. And if you wonder if you have to be dead to see God, I've been there more than four times, just in case. Physically, I see Father, but he had brought me back to life. And he was smiling, and he was teaching these children, my brother and sister. And they were learning, and they were having fun. It was not the boring school that we have today. It's not the concerning school system we have today that parents wonder what the children are learning. And that they got their homosexual agenda and so much other being taught to our children in school, even without our consent, even without parental consent, my brother and sister. Horrible, right? And so God wanted me to see what he was doing and how the millennium will be run. The millennium will be run by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, my brother and sister. It will be according to the will of God. That's why Jesus, when he taught his disciples to pray, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My brother and sister, his will is what is going to be done in the millennium, nothing else. It will be about him and not about fallen angel or government agenda, evil agenda, not anymore. They will be thrown in the lake of fire. And the only one that will be bound for 1,000 years, the devil, my brother and sister, hallelujah. It's 1,000 years of jail will be given to the devil, so he will have no influence on the children or anybody else in hell. The last enemy is dead, will not be allowed in the millennium. There will be no death but life, because Jesus is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords from Jerusalem. He's going to run the earth. His government, everlasting government, Daniel 12, will be established. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Everlasting government will be established on the earth, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord, for 1,000 years. And he is going to be the law of the earth, the law of the land. The law of the earth will be Jesus. He will have his own police. He will police the earth. Fornication and adultery will not be allowed. Neither anyone stealing, they will be put in jail. He's going to run the earth with a rod of iron, like a rod of iron. Straight, my brother and sister, and no nonsense and foolishness are going to be allowed. Everyone will worship him and serve him. Everyone will have to seek him and have a relationship with him. But it's going to be joyful, peaceful, fun, and so much more in his presence, my brother and sister. We're going to learn the will of God and everything God has available for his children. Our life, what we're going to learn there, will be about eternity and spending eternity with God, which a lot of people think is boring. And they have no idea how fun. And once you learn of it, you'll look forward to it, because it's full of joy, peace, and everlasting life in the Lord. Oh, wait until you hear the message of eternity and the things God has prepared. Things that did not came to mind. Things that men and people today have no idea. None. Because they are hidden in Christ, our Lord. My brother and sister, not the agenda of a government, but the agenda of the only government of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is a thirst from the fountain of water life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. How much is God going to give you in that place with him, my brother and sister? In case you're wondering, a 25, a 10%, a 5%, this is how our system is being run. We'll give you 2% of your money when you deposit in the bank. We'll give you 2% of this, 3% of this, 5% of that. God says, hallelujah, you shall inherit all things. And when he says all things, he means all things. He doesn't mean a 10% or a 1%. He means it all, 100% in this time and in the time to come, Jesus said. My brother and sister, the system of God is perfect. Perfect. When people come to heaven, he gives them all knowledge, all understanding. They're able to remember. they're able to know. I was allowed to come into class in the millennium. I was sitting in class, high school class, I remember. I was sitting in the middle of a class somewhere, and I began to hear the teacher. And everything she was teaching, it was so beyond what we know. And I began to learn what they were teaching, my brother and sister. In a month or two, you can learn things that scientists, my brother and sister, engineer of this life, and much more will like to know, but doesn't have the capability, the brain power to learn them. God gives you the brain power. God makes you capable and able to learn things beyond that you can learn now. When you sit in class, when you go to class for 1 year, it's like going to class here for 1 million years. And that's only my imagination, because it might be even more, my brother and sister. It's like going to class here for 1 million years is 1 year of God learning in his class. It is beyond your imagination. Children are 4 or 5 years of age in heaven, learn things that people down here are not even able to. If they write encyclopedia, they can write encyclopedia from here to China, my brother and sister. The intelligent, hallelujah, is beyond what we know and understand. That's what's waiting for you. When God gives you the ability and the power for you to know and understand, you know what you're going to do? You're going to bow, and you're going to say to him, Lord, thou art worthy to be praised and to give all glory. Hallelujah. Because all honor and glory belongs to you, oh Father. I am telling you, it is beyond human understanding what God has prepared for you. I remember asking the Lord, Lord, will you show me another planet? Months ago, over a year ago, Lord, will you show me another planet, Lord, and where I will be? Wow. Please, Lord, take me to another planet, remember? And he did so. He brought me to heaven beforehand. Then he brought me over this planet. As he was bringing me down over the planet, this is the information he gave me about the planet. It was over 200 billion times bigger than our galaxy. Not just the Earth, not just the small Mars and all our planet and our galaxy. It is 200 billion times bigger than our galaxy, my brother and sister. As he was bringing me to this planet, I can see it for millions of miles from where I was. He started bringing me closer to. I saw a lake in the planet where you can take our whole galaxy and drop it in that lake. And it's like dropping a marble in one of the biggest lakes on this earth. It will be poop. I say, that will be a galaxy dropping that lake. The lake will not even feel that galaxy dropping that lake. That's how huge that lake is, my brother and sister. And that whole planet is full of life. As he brought me closer to the planet and put me in the planet, my brother and sister, he allowed me to move up well. 3.5 times I was moving faster than light. 3.5 times I was moving in the spirit from heaven to the planet faster than light in God's power, my brother and sister. As I moved to the planet and got close to the planet, came down on the planet, I began to see tree of fruit, my brother and sister, that were endless. I didn't even want to try it. I could run 3 times faster than light and probably see the planet. I don't know how many months, but I didn't have all the time. But I just wanted to, where I was, see the tree that were there because they were all full of fruit. I saw like a mango tree, I remember. It was about 20 to 30 feet high. I wanted to climb the mango tree, although I could fly, but I wanted to, because I used to do that back in the island. I wanted to climb the mango tree because they look like mango, but it was between mango and other different fruit. But it was incredibly beautiful, and it looked juicy, and they were ready to be picked. And so I climbed the tree, and I grabbed a fruit, and I smell it. Oh, and it smelled awesome. I took a bite out of it. It was the sweetest, the most juiciest, fruit I ever tasted in my life, my brother and sister. I kept eating it desperately to finish this fruit because I said, this is so delicious. I just want to eat more. And I grab another one and I kept eating it. And I grab another one and I kept eating it. Now I'm like, I was thinking, and am I being a glutton here, my brother and sister? Hallelujah. So I said, you know what? Oh, this is so awesome. I got down from the tree and I began to walk. And in that place, the Lord began to show me a vision of his people coming there to visit in the future. The Lord began to show me brothers and sisters that I knew in the future that when they will be in heaven with God, they can come to the planet and come and eat and enjoy it as much as they want. They can come and swim. They can come and enjoy the fruit. There's endless fruit there that you can come and enjoy when you come to heaven, my brother and sister. I was glad that God was showing me the brothers and sisters. I could see their faces there in their glorified body. How beautiful and young they look, my brother and sister. I kept walking. It was nice to see that vision there, but I kept walking. In front of me, not far from me, in a beautiful green valley, I saw a class, and I saw people around this teacher that was teaching them. And they were all so close to him, like the multitude, like when that woman touched the Lord and she got healed. When I looked closely, I came running to catch up to the class because they were walking. And in the middle of the class was Jesus. I could see his hair, his beard, his beautiful skin, and his beautiful eyes full of love. That's one thing I can tell you about Jesus. When he looks at you, oh, my Lord, my God, you'll never forget his look, ever. Your soul will never forget it. Your spirit will never forgive you. Forgive that look because he is the lover of your soul. Oh, he is the one that formed you in your mother's womb. When you see him, there's no way you can forget about anybody else. But when you see Jesus, when you see his eyes, when his eyes are pierced on you, you'll see love in display in him. You're immediately, I've been in love with Jesus. Since I saw him, I've been in love with him. His eyes, my Lord. At one time in heaven, all I wanted him was to look at me because I was being loved like never before in my life. Oh, his love is tangible. It's so much peace and joy that comes from his eyes. So much love, pure love. My brother and sister. But I was in his back and he was walking forward. He looked back. I catch a glance of his eyes. I wanted more of him. And everyone in that class was listening to him. He was speaking. He was explaining things like the greatest rabbi he is. The greatest teacher that ever set foot on this earth that is going to be destroyed. Was walking in a beautiful planet teaching people his words about God, my brother and sister. He is so powerful. We all there will be in touch by him in a special way. And everybody was learning. But everyone there had more desire to learn of him. And I remember he was talking about how he's going to change things. Pause for a minute. He allowed me to speak. And I said to the class, to him, imagine when he comes in his glory. I said there. That was the only word I was allowed to speak, my brother and sister, because you don't want to speak. You just want to listen. You just want to hear him and receive from him. A lot of people think that when God takes me to heaven, oh, I see Jesus, I get to ask him all these questions. Unless he say, ask my son anything you want to ask or what you want to ask. He already know what I want to ask. So he'll say, ask me a question. Go ahead. Unless he say those things, then I can ask. I just want to listen to him. I just want to listen to him. He's all wisdom. He is all knowledge. My brother and sister. Everything he has to say changes our lives. My brother and sister, it changes us completely. Hallelujah. He shows us hope. He is not only hope. He gives us hope. But every word he speaks is full of hope. My brother and sister, full of life and full of knowledge and full of wisdom and full of anointing and power. Unending power. Unending wisdom. It just goes forever and ever from God. It flows from him forever and ever. Your meat beings have been, angels have been out there for billions of years learning. And you can say, you probably know it all. And oh, no. I just know a few percent. Oh, my Lord. My brother and sister, they give glory to God. And the more they learn, the more they worship him. Wait until you are there. You have no word. I'll say to you in the Lord's Tower parking heaven, Brother Miguel, what did you learn? The mystery of God is so awesome. I remember being in the third heaven in the Lord's Tower park, and I saw Brother Miguel coming. Brother Miguel greeted me from far. And I said, there's Brother Miguel, my brother and sister. We're still on the earth, and I already see him in heaven. My brother and sister, how is that possible? That was the future. My brother and sister, in God, with God, all things are possible. Trust him. Trust him with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. And watch how he'll take care of you in your life. When things seem impossible, he'll make them possible for you. When the doors are closed, he'll open them for you. He'll make a way where there seems no way. People will go there and find nothing. And God will bring you there. And you have abundance. And they'll say, how, sister? How is it, brother? I tried to find there, and there was nothing. And I can see you were plenty. How is that possible, sister? How is that possible, brother, that you can have abundance where there's nothing? And you look to heaven and you give him praise and you say, it's my God. It is the Holy One of Israel. It's my Jehovah Jireh that makes all things possible for me. Jehovah, my provider, my brother and sister. The way they don't see, we see is Jesus. He is the way, the true and the life, and that no man coming to the Father except through him. I thank you, Jesus. What an awesome God we serve. He makes all things possible. My brother and sister, all things possible. Hallelujah. John said in verse 10, said, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and show me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. The glory of God is in there, my brother and sister. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It had as a wall, a great and high, as a wall great and high. It had 12 gates, and the gates are 12 angels. At the gate are 12 angels, and a name was written thereon, which are the name of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. They're not in heaven yet, and God got their names there already. Let me tell you that what does that mean? God knows who's coming to heaven and who is not. He is the one that said that many are called and few are chosen. He spoke to his disciple about the elect, my brother and sister. Why is it that over 60% of the earth are now vaccinated, my brother and sister? In New York alone, public workers are over 90% vaccinated. United States and the world, every day, thousands and millions of people, thousands every day, and about a million a week, and much more, are being vaccinated in the world. As we're speaking now, people are lining up in other countries to be vaccinated or being vaccinated. How can people forsake God so easily and so fast and so soon? My brother and sister, it's because they don't know him. And they don't have the time to know him and humble themselves. They're walking in the black horse of pride, my brother and sister. They don't want to humble themselves, my brother and sister, and ride on the white horse of humility. They want to keep riding the black horse of pride. And that black horse of pride will lead them to hell, my brother and sister. You need to humble yourself. God will share his spirit with the humble. It's the only way, my brother and sister. He loves us. He gave his son for us. But we need to humble ourselves. It is his calling into our life. And we must respect his way. Verse 17. For behold, I created a new heaven and new earth. And the former shall not be remembered, nor come to mind. Why will God say they will not remember? When I was in the new earth, I could not remember anything about this life anymore. I can only enjoy everything. I was in tremendous peace and joy that I didn't want to come out. But remembering everything that we're talking about tonight about this earth, the by seeing and all that stuff and the bathing, no, I didn't remember none of that. That was all passed away. History to me. My brother and sister, I had to be brought back here to remember this, the things about this life, because I was in tremendous joy and peace. My brother and sister, looking unto better things and greater. And on the east three gates, and on the north three gates, and the south three gates, and on the west three gates, God established what he says. Whatever he says on his, whatever he promised, he established. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please try to convince your sister not to vaccinate her children, sister. Speak with them. Hallelujah. That try your best. If they reject, it's on them. And then continue to pray for them even if they're vaccinated. The Lord can change them back. I have a message called Change from Beast Back to Human. Hallelujah. That you can look up in the archive here on Block Talk Radio. Okay, from Beast to Human. Change back to human is the title of the message. Very important that we hear that, because then we know, pray without ceasing for the vaccinated. They're going to need a prayer like that sister the Lord showed me. She says she pray endless for her, okay, non-ceasing, and the Lord merciful change her back at the end of the seven-year great tribulation. I heard the Lord say yes right now to me. So please do so. Please pray for them. The Lord is merciful. Hallelujah. Amen. He's merciful. He will help your family. He can bring them back. They will know that the decision they made was horrible. Everything will come to the knowledge of everyone unknown. The vaccinated, when people are vaccinated, they come to the knowledge, okay, that the decision that they have made were terrible, was the worst, my brother and sister. So having someone praying for them at the end of the 7 year is going to help them a lot, because in hell, they lose all hope easily. People lose all hope. But, you know, if they got family praying for them, that's really going to keep them strong. And the Lord, my brother and sister, that's going to help them too. When the Lord changes this back, they can go back to their body and really serve God. God can bring them into the millennium and reign with Christ 1,000 years. And there they get the great opportunity to know God, to know Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, to come to the knowledge of God, that God is real, loving God. And if they continue to repent and commit their life to God, they can go to eternity, my brother and sister, which is so awesome. I was telling someone, brother today, Ben, that I've been praying about eternity, even for my children to go to eternity. Because this life is a test, and the life to come is also a test. Yes, the millennium will be great, but it's still a test. You still have to choose Jesus above all, my brother and sister. So please, Pray that you'll make it to eternity. That's what we need to be, my brother and sister. For some reason, the Lord showed me a great redeemed who was over 4,000 years of age from heaven that came down to the millennium and fell down on sin on his face. And he was hurting in great pain there. My brother and sister, I was able to meet him and give him a hug there, see him falling. To me, was a great knowledge of teaching to me that don't take for granted sin. Don't play with it. Don't play with sin. Don't go to sleep without repenting your sin either. Okay? That's what and repenting means you're changing your way. Don't go to the house of the prostitute anymore. Don't go to the bar. Don't even go to the movie. I don't go to the movie. Try to stay away from the mall as much as possible. The crowd, the multitude of people sinning and speaking evil language. Because what we call bad is evil. The Bible calls it evil language. Don't speak evil like them. Don't listen to the evil language, speaking foul language. Don't listen to it. It'll contaminate your soul. And our garment needs to be ready for the rapture of departure. If you listen to the foul language, it's dirty your garment. Then you have to spend more time in prayer so the blood will cleanse you from unrighteousness. And ask the Lord to cleanse all your bookkeeping and record in your garment, your spiritual garment. Ask him to cleanse it, my brother and sister. Okay? Now, someone sent me links of people speaking in tongues, which people are saying that they were confessing bad language. I'm going to tell you something. Speaking in tongues is a mystery with God. 1 Corinthians 12, read it, please. Now, you cannot judge someone speaking in language that they're saying something else when you know that it's given to them of the Spirit. And that is in the border of blasphemy. You have to be careful with blasphemy. Blasphemy, blaspheming the Holy Spirit is the unpardonable sin. Okay? Don't go there with anyone who sends you a message No. Unless you got the gift of interpretation to know what they're saying, don't go there. That is in the border of blasphemy. Please be careful. I wanted to mention that here in the Lord's Hour. You need to be careful where anything being said against the Holy Spirit, because that could be blasphemy. And that sin is unpardonable. In this life, the Bible says in the life to come, please be very careful with what you're being said, my brother and sister. Verse 13. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and I named the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Everything is being taken, recorded by God, my brother and sister. Everything is being recorded. Now, verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, my brother and sister. No covering, no roof, my brother and sister, no temple. Oh, you must congregate yourself under a temple. Excuse me? The Lord Almighty is my temple. Okay? The congregation, the meeting between the brothers and sisters in the book of Acts and after that were in their houses or on the row. Excuse me. Or on the way to Damascus. Remember Philip and the eunuch? They were having a service among them too. Were there two or three in my name, the Lord said, there I will be. That's your church. That's your congregation, in case you were wondering. Don't let people judge you because you don't go to church and you congregate yourself here online with the brothers and sisters. It's biblical what we're doing, my brother and sister. Don't let people convince you, hallelujah, of things that are in the unity of the Spirit. My brother and sister, no. Hallelujah. Seek this of the Lord. The Lord wants us to come together as one here. Right now, here that we're here, the Lord is here with us. We're congregating each other. We're in the congregation of the saints right now. We're in the body of Christ, my brother and sister. Okay? There was no temple there, John says. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, Elohim, Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, and the Lamb, Jesus, the one that went to the cross and died for us, are the temple of it. He is our temple. Okay, someone is telling you, that you need to go to a temple. Oh, yeah, I go to a temple. We go to the temple of the Father and the Son. Okay? That's what we go to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gave light to it, and the lamp is the light thereof. My brother and sister, I was in that glory. The Father emitted over the new earth. Father was emitting this glory over the new earth, and I was inside that glory. And let me tell you, it is awesome. It is wonderful. It is unimaginable. The city had no need of the sun, my brother and sister. No need of the moon to shine on it. Because let me tell you, the sun light cannot even compare to the light of Jesus. Although the sun is a manifestation of Jesus, in case you were wondering, he is the morning star. What is the morning star in this planet? The sun. The sun, my brother and sister. For the glory of God gave light to it. Light. And, oh, you cannot even imagine how bright it is. My brother and sister, every time I was taken to heaven, the Lord has to do something to my eyes because it is so bright. It is so powerful, the light, that the light is so powerful, it blinds you. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're so used to this darkness here. We have to do, like putting a really dark glasses in my eyes or contacts in my eye for me to see practically, but with his power, though. Thank you, Lord. And then I can see. Because it's so bright, so powerful. Oh, usually when I'm there, it takes me some time to really get used to the powerful light. And you can see as far as you can. And you can see very far in heaven, let me tell you. My brother and sister, it's just so bright, the light of Father and the Lord. Okay? No moon. Because God gave us the sun and the moon to be able to tell the time, 12 hours, which makes a day 24 hours. We don't need that clock anymore, that earthly clock. There will be no clock in heaven. It goes on for eternity to eternity and on and on and on. And there's never, you don't need to know if what time is it in the day. Is it noon? Is it morning? Is it afternoon? None of that nonsense and foolishness. It's past. Past. Let the past go. Praise you, Lord. For the glory God gave life to it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You got the glory, which is so powerful. And then you got the light of Jesus, my brother and sister. Oh, wait until you get there. Wait until you get there. Okay? Because after that, you experience God on your own when you're there. There's no more messenger coming back to tell you about it. And a messenger giving you a poor message about heaven and God and all that, like I've been doing, because how can word describe him? His greatness. His mighty and glory. How can I describe it in word? My brother and sister, how can I detail you something so glorious and powerful? But when you experience it, you're going to say, Brother, I know you did your best, and thank you for it. Praise the Lord. He's much greater than what I can describe it or anybody else. So, hallelujah. Don't judge the prophet and the messenger, because we're doing our best to describe the things of God. Hallelujah. And the nations of them are saved, shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor to it. My brother and sister, the kings that bring this glory is the bride that receives the crown of glory. They'll bring their light to it. That crown, I saw, it has a powerful light that will emanate out of the crown. When people come in with that crown of glory, it's just so much light and power. My brother and sister, God has so much for you. What are you doing wasting time on this earth, loving the thing on this earth? I knew this morning there, when I tried to, God gave me this understanding when I was there, that everything I know about this life and that we worry and concern for it is vanity. It has no meaning, no significance. It has no value compared to being in that place. When you get to that place and you look at the things back here, if you're able to, you say, my Lord, this life as Solomon said, vanity of vanity is all vanity. My brother and sister, it has no value. None. Everything that you're concerned for when you're there, you see, why, you're going to say, why was I concerned for this? My brother and sister, the eternal things are the valuable things. Not these things that perish, that tomorrow, that today are and tomorrow are not. My brothers, God has much more for you. Much, much more for you to enjoy for eternity. And for you to learn and find out about these things. That it cannot come to your mind now, or you have no idea of them. But Christ is the way to get you there. Submit your life. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. And he'll bring you there for sure. Jesus is a sure way to the promise of God. Listen to Sister Barbara put out a word and a few other prophets. Listen to it. For it. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the Godzilla 7 End Time Prophecy Channel. I'm Sister Barbara, and I'm here today with the prophecy that I received earlier this morning. I returned it, let's see, probably about two or three days now. So let's see. Of course, I don't know what today's date is. Let's see. 12-12, how about that? 12-12-21. Okay, so now I have the prophecy in my phone. That worked before, so let's try that again. So join me in the King James Version Bible. I'm going to be in my favorite book, the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter, let's see, chapter 13. Let's do, start at 16. Give glory to the Lord, your God, before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while ye look for light, he turned it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. That's as far as I'm going to go on that. Now, I kept on hearing about the dark and the darkness and darkness for how many days now? Okay, so now I'm going to be scrolling in here so you know what I'm doing. It's in my phone. Daughter, speak to the people. A mighty wind will blow. Then you will see the dark clouds rolling in, covering the nations, a day of gloom and darkness, a thick black cloud covering. You will see fire mingled with hail. Men love the darkness. They can hide their evil deeds. Oh, here's the Holy Spirit coming on me. You will see a flickering flame. Fire will be seen in the clouds. Destroying wind, rain, and fire, and pillars of smoke. These things come before I enter. Whoa. Who can escape what is written? I see so much evil on the earth. Man continues in his pride and quest for knowledge from the forbidden tree. You were deceived by the serpent in the beginning. You are being deceived by the serpent in the end. How about that? The fallen ones have again taken control of the human race. Man's seed is corrupted once. Back up. Man's seed is corrupted once more as it was in the days of Noah. I must rid thee. Okay, can't see there, this next word. There's a flash on it. Most likely it is. I must rid this earth of this abomination before extinction. Children, come to the light while it is day, for soon the night comes with the darkness. Whoa, how about that? Look at, I have the Holy Spirit. I can't even say anything. Wow, how about that? So again, we know we're at the end. This is it. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can read about that in Book of Acts, Acts 2:38. Have a plan. Make sure Jesus Christ is on the top of the list of your plan. You must be born again to enter the kingdom. Get a Bible. Read it front to back. I'm saying this in all urgency. You need to know what the Bible says yourself. don't depend on other people to tell you and answer your questions because maybe they never read it. And I ran into that. Yep. Get a Bible. Join a Bible study. If you don't understand, do some research yourself. You must do this. We're at the end. This is pretty much it. Let's look at this again. Now, what I was hearing, I was hearing this mighty wind, about the mighty wind blowing, and then the covering of darkness. That's what I kept on hearing, a day of gloom, and thick black cloud covering. Now, what surprised me in the prophecy, because I wasn't hearing this before I got it, about the fallen ones have again taken control of the human race. Just sit back a minute and think about that, and think about what's going on right now in the world. This is like jam-packed of information here. You need to pray on this. Listen to it again, maybe two times. Pray and meditate about it. Ask the Lord for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Put your hand on the Bible. Do that. And ask him, meditate on this word. This is extremely important. There might be something in here. I'm going to say this for you personally. There's a lot of information packed in here. This is amazing. Please have a plan. Make sure Jesus Christ is on the top of the list. Also have an emergency supply of things. We just saw the tornado outbreak. That was like a shocker there. God bless all you people there. We're praying for you in the path of the tornado there. So let me pray here. God the Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, bless me indeed. Expand my territory. Keep evil and the devil away from me and my family. Let your hand be with me always, and please don't ever let me cause anyone pain. Don't stop praying. This is what the enemy wants. He throws things in front of you to try to discourage you. What else? Make you depressed. I'm telling you this to stop you from getting to know him better. Don't let him do that. Keep praying. That is the main thing you need to do, is keep praying. Keep asking him to show you things, to order your footsteps. This is what I do. Order my footsteps. Please give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You need to do this. We're at the end. He pretty much says it straight up. Now, I have how many prophecies out there? The day of the Lord, and I think one is called the prelude to the day of the Lord, and it tells you what kind of day it's going to be. So if I can, I will try to post that around, maybe on the Facebook pages. So again, make sure you're still subscribed to the YouTube channel. Hit the notification button so you know when something's going on. And if you're on the Facebook pages, please share the prophecy messages because they aren't showing them. Also on there, please like and follow us on the Facebook pages. This way you know if something's coming, you can see it quick. Am I missing anything? Thanking everyone, of course I was. Thanking everyone for the encouraging comments under the videos. Thank you for the translations in the other languages. Thank you everyone that supports the ministry financially so we can help other people. Thank you, everyone, for all the things you send in the mail. We've got lovely Christmas presents and things in the mail, all sorts of lovely things, boxes of things, what else, books, cards, notes, all sorts of things, beautiful Christmas cards. And thank you, everyone, that's sending one for my mom. I did make a request out there. If you send holiday cards, to send one to our P.O. box. It's usually under the video or in the channel page or in the Facebook page. Attention Patricia. She loves cards. She's in the nursing home. She's not looking like she's getting out of there. But we have a visit scheduled tomorrow. So I'll take all the cards I have to her tomorrow. So please send her a card if you think of it. Am I missing anything? I think I covered everything. I don't want to go off air because that's what I usually start doing and then I get distracted. So God bless you all. Have a blessed and safe day. Like I said, listen to this again and ask the Lord to give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so you understand what's going on here. There's a lot of information packed in that prophecy message. So God bless you all. We love you guys. Thank you for everything you do for us. Have a blessed and safe day. I'm almost here.
Have you not heard that heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word? Are you going to listen to the word? Are you going to stand on the word? Or are you going to stand on what you believe or don't believe. For now, I can give you no more than my word. Soon the day comes, I will perform it. I will do what I've said I will. I will save your family. I will save you. I will write your names in the Lamb's Book of Life where they shall remain. But if, like Zacharias, if you don't believe my word, you delay the promise. Or, says the Lord, I will deny you the promise I have made you and give it to another. Have you not read, let no man take your crown? The just shall live by faith. Have you not read that it is impossible to please me without faith? You've got to believe that I can do it, whether you can see it or not. You've got to believe in me even when you cannot feel me, feel my presence. It's not based on feeling. It's based on the word of the Bible, my word. I keep warning and warning my people, get ready. The days are short. When calamities and tribulation will come such as never been. And yet some scoff at my preachers and my prophets, thinking it is not so. That you are going to escape it all. I'm telling you, no, you're not. You're going to be tested and tried as by fire, saith the Lord. For when you have been tried as by fire, then and only then shall you shine as pure gold in my eyes. I want to know that you love me more than your family. I want to know that you love me more than your own life. It is written, he who saves his life shall lose it. And he who loses his life shall save it. I charge you today, saith the Lord, read my word. Stand on my word. Hear my prophets and hear my preachers. Judge what they say, saith the Lord, and it shall, I said again, it shall come to pass, saith the Lord.
Hello again and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial and you are welcome to this channel. To all old and new subscribers, you are very welcome. Please adjust your settings at the top of the screen or at the bottom and then click advanced or higher quality and then bump up your video. If it's in a low streaming like 240 or 360, bump it up to 720 or 1080p, whichever is the highest your device can manage so that you have a clear picture to work with. I'm continuing with the Lord's instruction to open up the mysteries of the end times. The Father has made it clear that a very large portion of the Church of Jesus Christ does not know the truth concerning, I think, one of the most important truths in the Bible. See, the Bible is a multi-layered blessing that God has given us. It is God's word by which we come to know and understand who the Heavenly Father Yah is. It is the truth of the story of mercy, grace, and sacrifice that has been extended to a fallen mankind in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible is a multi-dimensional book, and it deals with many, many themes. Some of those themes are apparent just by reading, but some of those themes are not easy to perceive on the surface of it. And then we add to the fact that with the times that we live in, sin and the work of Satan have greatly increased. And so the Bible says that the hearts of man will grow cold in the end of days. People will become lovers of themselves. You can certainly see that by the way that people have mounted entire shrines to themselves online. And all they focus on is self and their goals and things and what they want. And understand that there's nothing wrong with those things. But when those become your all-consuming passions, then surely you will miss out on the greater import of why you are here. If you do not understand as a person, whether you are born again when you come to this channel or not, if you do not understand the purpose of why you are here, the reason that God has chosen to express a little piece of himself through you, then you will basically be at risk of forfeiting your entire life to the pursuit of earthly things, not understanding that after your earthly journey on earth comes a very everlasting heavenly journey or hellbound journey. I was just making some tea this morning, and the Lord brought to mind and said to me, "Do you understand how deadly sin is and how long eternity is?" And immediately into my mind came a picture of a burglar breaking into the house. And let's say I am the one standing there watching this burglar break into the house. So the burglar breaks into the house and is not only concerned with stealing everything, but decides that he wants to murder the owner of the house. And so I watch as he goes upstairs, comes to the bed of the sleeping owner of the house, and then proceeds to stab him and stab him and stab him. And then I, Celestial, decide, why don't I join in the stabbing of this person? And so as the burglar is taking the life of the house owner, I then would join in and stab, only for the cloth to be pulled back and find that it is I lying in that bed. That is what a life of sin is like. A life of sin doesn't only open you up to Satan coming in and robbing, stealing, killing, and destroying everything that is useful and everything that is beautiful about you as a human being, but you as the owner of the house join in and participate in your own murder by the devil. And then after that comes this unending period of time in which a person lives separated from God. Forever is longer than any mortal being can possibly imagine. And as I was listening to the book of Acts early this morning, I heard the part where Apostle Paul was defending himself. I think it was before King Agrippa. And he was saying, "King Agrippa, despite all the noise and the tumult that has accompanied me here and brought me here before you, I'm glad that I have a chance to defend myself, because all I have to say is that I believe in the scriptures exactly as they are taught, except that I believe in them saying that Jesus Christ is the way." And then he said something curious. "I also believe in the resurrection of the dead, both of the righteous and the unrighteous." And this is a very scary thought when you think about what Paul is saying, because in our modern culture, if you speak to the average person on the street, they would tell you that they don't believe that anything else comes after death, especially in Western nations. This is a fact. Other people in other cultures definitely believe in an afterlife of a sort. But here, there's this sort of flat, dead atheism where you exist, you do what you want to do, and then you lie down in the dirt, and there's no accountability. And nothing could be further from the truth, because here Paul makes almost as a passing statement, he says that there will be a resurrection of the dead as taught by Christ himself. And then he says of the unrighteous and the righteous. So that means that while the righteous will be earnestly expecting to be raised to eternal life, to forever be with their Father, imagine the shock of the unrighteous who think that nothing comes after, when you are woken up and told that, oh no, there's a whole section that comes after the part where you thought it ended. You thought that it ended when you die, and then there's nothing. But actually, we've got this whole event planned. It's called the judgment at the white throne of God. And then after that, based on the video that we're going to watch of your life, you will either enter into eternal communion with the Heavenly Father, or you will enter into eternal damnation into the lake of fire, which, as the Bible says, was prepared for the devil and his angels. These are the conversations that the Lord has with me, very important things, things of eternal import, things that I will be thinking about and dealing with long after I don't have to go to work anymore and I'm no longer alive. And so today I continue with the teaching that the Lord wants his people to know, things of eternal importance, that the Bible is not just a flat book that is talking about love God and follow these rules so you can go to heaven, but it is actually teaching very critical themes. And one of those themes is that the fallen angels have offended against the Father by coming down on earth in ancient times and laying with women and begetting huge progeny, meaning huge and giant children upon the earth. But as we continue with this series, I hope to be able to show God's people that the fallen angels had children who are not only huge, but of every imaginable type. There has been blending of human DNA with many other types of creatures. And Satan, in his ingenuity, Satan is, I wouldn't call him anti-creative. Satan is very creative. But the thing is, just as God's creativity produces such beautiful things, such as flowers, sunset, rainbows, and us, Satan's creativity produces the fearsome and the grotesque and things that make the heart stop if you were to see them. And so as we go along with this series, I pray the Holy Spirit will give me grace to express myself, to express his truth as they have been shared with me, and that God's people's eyes will be opened in Jesus' name. And so we started yesterday in Jude chapter 1 and verse 6. The angels which kept not their first estate, which basically means their first habitation. Where is the habitation of angels? In the upper heavens, in the realm of God, which is where angels are supposed to stay. In fact, as a caveat that I will give you, a caveat simply meaning a warning that I want you to hold on to in your heart for the remainder of this entire series, whether I am talking about giants, whether I'm talking about aliens, whether I'm talking about blended hybrids or anything else, always remember that when God sets a place for a thing, it is supposed to keep that place. So when God sets a place for man and sets man within his boundaries and his habitations, man is supposed to keep that place. Anytime anything that God has created wants to move outside of its appointed place, bad things happen. The Lord has made the sea, and how great and glorious it is. But when the sea becomes enraged and rises up and comes out of the place God set for it and covers the land, it causes great devastation in the form of flooding, in the form of tsunamis, in the form of terrible devastation that have a high cost in life and property. When man leaves his place as man and begins to go into the territory of wearing heels and having breast surgery, it causes a terrible twisting, not only in the physical body of the person, but also in the mind, and serves as a very great cutting between that person and God, which, if they do not repent of it and return to the Lord and the Lord's order, they are in danger of hellfire. The same go for women who do this. When children are touched sexually and their innocence destroyed, this is taking children out of the parameters that God has set for a child and bringing them into destructive places. And so the angels who left their first estate, which means the first place that God has put them, their rightful habitation in heaven, are guilty of the same sin. They transgressed against humanity, and I'm now going to cover a little piece of a prophecy that I did a very long time ago, and I left out this particular part because, as I have already said, it was in my heart that the time had not yet come to cover these matters, but I have to say that the urgency with which God began to press on me quickly let me know that it is time to cover these things and God wants them to be known. And so the prophecy that I will complete today is called The Many Words of God Part 2. And this prophecy is all the way from January 13, 2020, which makes it more than a year old. This prophecy was mostly focusing on the coming fragmentation, not the coming, but the ongoing fragmentation of the United States, how the United States media would start to lead the people into hating one another, fighting one another, and they would greatly fan the flames of internal breakdown in America, how basically the temperature of America would rise and people would start to fight one another, even in offices and businesses and in personal homes. And then the Lord came here to this part called the fallen angels. The Lord said that the fallen angels made a great insurrection against man. That's what he called it, a great insurrection. The word insurrection means a violent uprising. It means to riot against. It means to mount an insurgency or an attack against something or someone. If you were to have imagery of this, it means to imagine something like the violent waves of a tsunami or the sea, which I briefly mentioned, rising up and completely covering a town or a village. It means to overpower something, to overrun it, to defeat it, and to completely take it over. That's what the Lord said the fallen angels did against man, a great insurrection. And here is what he said. Since the dawn of time, fallen angels and other half-breed creatures have had sexual interaction with human beings, with the result that they interbred with them and they brought forth demonic creatures upon this earth. Over the centuries, repeated inbreeding and interbreeding has caused some of this pool to look like man. But I say to you that they are not man. If you breed something half man with man, the offspring will look more and more like man than its half-breed predecessor did. And so on and so forth until you have, at worst, a reproductive genome that is not man at all, but looks like him. Call it a casing, a covering, flesh that looks like man, but is not man. Human beings have bred with these beings for so long that the fallen ones have outnumbered them. They have no soul. They are not man, and they are not the creation of the Almighty. Therefore, they do not possess the all-important component of human existence by which Adam himself became a living being. They do not have a soul. They are the image of man, but they are not man. And so many people seem to be very concerned with the health and the welfare of these fallen beings. I can't count how many times I see under these videos and even on the Master's Voice blog itself, people who want to know if the fallen know they are the fallen. This is like asking if a rabbit knows that it is a rabbit, or if I, Celestial, as a woman, understand that I am a woman. Everything that God has made knows what it is. And by similar imputation, hear me when I say that everything that is of Satan knows what it is. It knows that it has no soul. It knows that it is a hybrid. They give it away in their speech at times, and definitely they will give it away by their obvious actions, by what they will perform when the time comes where there is no restraint upon them and they are free to do what they want to do. The fact that God's people do not understand what the scripture says when it says, what fellowship has light to do with darkness, means that the sons of darkness, these creatures of which I am speaking, are wiser than the sons of light. For the sons of darkness do not sit among themselves and wonder if Christians know if they are Christians. They know who the Christians are. They know who are carrying the true light of the living God. But the Christians are somehow very concerned with the welfare of the hybrids and the hidden murderers among us. Do they know, Celestial, that they are hybrids? Do they know that they are of Satan? I posit to you to understand what the devil is. The devil is an ancient and a wise creature. He's called the ancient serpent. In some parts of the Bible, he is called the deceiver. In other parts, he is called the enemy of our souls. In yet other parts, he is called the accuser of the brethren. And quite frequently, he is referred to as a dragon. If a dragon fathers anything, anything at all on this earth, do we really need to wonder if the progeny of the dragon know that they are the dragon's seed? The Lord says of himself, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. Therefore, we know that all true Christians hear the voice of God, either in the Spirit, by the Spirit, or through the Spirit from God's word. Why then do we need to wonder if the creatures of Satan know their identity? Of course they know. The deceived people are the humans, the ones who do not know that these things exist. And when they hear that they exist, their first concern is trying to find out if the wicked know that they are wicked. Let us not be children, for the day is far spent. We are in the time when God is expecting this church to rise up in faith, put on the full armor of God, and to stand ready to defend themselves, their families, and whoever else may not be informed about the coming of these things among us. Let us not have children's understanding, but put away childish things and become men. And so the Lord was telling me to share a dream that I've never shared in print before, and I probably will not share it in print, so the only place that it will appear is in this video. It is about fairies. So speaking mostly to the mothers out there, because mothers are usually in charge of what children watch and play with. Many people in the Western world allow their children to be exposed to things like mermaids, to things like fairies, little people, gnomes, and elves. Even among adults, the love of mermaids is pervasive. Grown women dressing up in fishtail costumes, going out and walking down, I think it was Fifth Avenue a few years ago, in the New York Mermaid Parade. And all I will say to you is, this is the reason that God says these things will come upon this earth. So this video is just going to be free-flowing, because I've already read that God says that sexual interaction between the angels and mankind has been taking place for millennia, and that over time, a form of interbreeding has happened that I will get to. But let me speak about this dream, and also why it is so dangerous for people to love these things. Many times I get questions about, but why would God allow this? Why would God allow this? Hear the truth of the matter. The reason that the Lord did not burn up these evil creatures, but instead chained them in strategic locations, speaking of the fallen angels, and then wiped out the giants in the beginning of time, in Noah's day, is because the Lord knew that at the end of time, perhaps the most wicked generation that has ever lived would be alive. I'm speaking of this generation. I'm speaking of our generation. I'm speaking of whoever is watching this video in 2021. This generation is the generation that is reserved for destruction by fire, except the few that the Lord will pluck out because they are his. The entire earth and all that is in it is reserved for fire. This is a generation far more wicked than Noah's in many ways, a generation that denies God, that hates everything to do with God, and that tramples the name of the Savior in the dirt in pursuit of what their evil hearts desire. And so the reason these things were not done away with is because they are part of the judgment. Let me read out the three tenets that the Lord gave me before I started. Tell them that the Nephilim are all connected. All types of the Nephilim and the fallen are connected. Tell them that they are all wicked. So those out there who cling to the belief that there are good races and bad races, I let you know that you are deceived and that you have a kernel or a nugget of the truth, but not the whole thing. The last thing he said, and I wrote it in capital letters, tell them that they are all a judgment. So the reason that you find so many strange creatures popping up in the book of Revelation, the reason that God is revealing that aliens will come to this world and most certainly here to the United States, the reason that the Lord wants us to understand that giants, little people, fairies, and all the dwellers of the sea will come out, that these creatures that live in the hill country, or what Americans call the hill country, which simply means that they favor the very high ground, like the mountains and the hills and the woods that are very high up there that only very determined hikers go into, the ones that dwell in the desert and the ones that dwell even up through portals that will be opened, they are all here to be part of the judgment of this sinful end time generation. And now to the dream. I had a dream, I would say, in 2014 or 2015, in which I lived on the sixth floor of a high rise, and in my dream, I woke up one morning And I went to pull the balcony door so I could stand on the balcony as was my habit. Used to love to stand on that balcony and watch traffic and just watch life in general. But because I am a praying person, I pray for every place that I live incessantly. I cover my home and those around me with the blood of Jesus. I actually walk around my neighborhood praying so that there will be walls erected in the spirit, that I don't live in a place that has gang warfare and senseless murders and things like that. And so prayer is just my normal habit. What I found that morning was so strange. In the dream, I woke up at about 6 or 7 a.m. and I went out onto the balcony and I saw the strangest thing. I saw a silvery cord holding a tiny creature that looked like a fairy. Excuse me. So it was a sparkly silvery cord, and it was wrapped firmly around the leg of a little creature with wings and a tiny body. And that creature was buzzing and crackling with electricity that was shocking it through that cord. And it had pulled the cord, which was coming from my balcony, as taut as it could, and it was trying to fly away, but it was just held like a dog on a leash. And I stared in amazement, and the Lord put into the understanding of my heart, this cord that you see is your prayer. This cord that you see is your diligence. It has snared wickedness, and now the wickedness cannot fly away. And I looked at this creature and I said to it, I can see you. I know what you are. And to my shock, this thing began to change shape. It turned into a flower. It turned into a tiny miniature desk and chair. It turned into a book. In front of my eyes, this little fairy began to change shape. But whenever it changed shape, the prayer, the cord that held it fast, gave it an electrical shock, and it turned back into what it was. That dream helped me understand the importance of why Christians should constantly pray around their homes. But that dream also showed me that these things that have been flying through the cartoons that I have watched all my childhood are nothing but Satan, Nephilim, witchcraft in another form. So I say to you watching this video that if the Lord God is not revealing to you these end time mysteries, it is high time that you began to visit your Bible with understanding. There are so many things in the Bible, so many Bible verses that if you begin to read them a second time with the understanding of what I'm teaching on this channel, you will be shocked. For instance, the parable of the wheat and tares. We have heard the parable of the wheat and tares, how a man went to his field and he sowed good seed, and then he went to sleep. During the night, the Bible says, an enemy came and he sowed tares. And then when the crop began to grow up, because that is the only way you can tell when there are weeds in your field. The servants were dismayed, and they ran to the master, and they said, Master, Master, there are tares in the field. And the master went, an enemy has done this. And they said, Master, what should we do? Should we root them out? Should we pull them up? And the master said, no, for to pull them up now at this early stage will destroy my own crop. Wait and let them grow up together. At the harvest time, reap the field. My wheat bring into my barn. The tares burn with fire. This has been taught in church, rightly so, as the separation of the righteous and the unrighteous, that even in the church, there are those among us who are carnal Christians, people who are not really saved at all. They are walking in their own lusts. They are walking in abject and open disobedience, and they don't really have a heart for the Lord, but it's just nice to have him as a sort of insurance policy, and that's why they're in the church. So the parable of the wheat and the tares can speak to the presence of truly saved and falsely saved in the church. It can also speak to the presence of God's people in the midst of a fallen world who do not want to make the Lord Jesus their Lord and Savior. But I put it to you now that the parable on the wheat and tares greatly speaks to the presence of the unclean, the fallen among us. They look like the wheat. If you would Google and see what a tare looks like, it looks identical to a piece of wheat. It has such minute differences that you have to have a trained eye to see that this is not actually a stalk of wheat. And so the parable of the wheat and tares in the Bible is God revealing to his people that things that look like wheat, which is us human beings with a soul, a nephesh, the breath of life in us that God gave Adam in the garden, they live among us. And they walk like us, and they talk like us, and they mimic the tears and the many emotions that make us us, except that our emotions come out of the experience of being human. They come out of the movement and the rhythms of having a soul, but these things merely mimic what they see. And so let me go back to what God said about breeding of the fallen angels and how over time it has created a flesh suit, a casing, a covering that looks like us, but is not us. Now, if you remember what I said in the first video, breeding with the angels, let's call it first generation breeding, brought out these children that grew to immense stature. And I said that even though they came out looking human, they were filled with violence and rage because they were an unclean progeny with no soul. And so they grew to great and massive heights. And this is the first generation. But sometimes these giants breeding downward, they're actually stories. I took out this book from the library, but I cannot remember its name, of a giant who was about 7 or 8 feet. No, not 7 or 8 feet. He was about 13 or 14 feet. And he stole a girl from a village to be his wife. Now, I don't understand the mechanics of all this, but she was stolen and she gave birth. So maybe the giants were able to adjust their size or something. I will not speak to that. I will not actually say things that I don't know. But what I do know is that the Lord showed that if you continue down breeding the Nephilim, it is sometimes possible to get smaller Nephilim that can actually marry human beings. And here's the curious thing he said. If you breed something that is half man with man, over time, the offspring looks more and more like man than its half-breed. So if, for instance, a hybrid alien with the bigger eyes and the humanoid features was to be bred again with a person, so not hybrid with hybrid, but hybrid with person, the next baby will look more like a person and less like a hybrid. It's just like when people of different nationalities or different races mix. If you get a mixed baby who then goes either the father's way or the mother's way, the next baby comes out closer to who the baby was than who the baby's original parents were. And this is what the Lord has said. This is the process by which we now have hybrids living among us who perfectly look like people. They're the right people size. So they are not 15 and 22 and 39 feet anymore. They're the right people size due to centuries of down breeding that has made them small and made them in every way look exactly like us. And yet they are not us. They have no soul. The Lord says that they are not man, they are not my creation, and they do not possess the all-important component of human existence that made Adam a human being. They do not have a soul. They are made in the image of man, but they are not man. And so, I believe that I have covered what the Lord wants me to cover. Just remember the three things that I shared during the middle of this video. The Lord says that the Nephilim are all connected. So there are people who are sticklers for what Nephilim are, and they only want it to refer to the first generation progeny that came from the fallen angels and the women that they slept with. But when the Lord says Nephilim to me, I have seen a wide range of pictures, and perhaps in my next video, that is what I will cover. I have a prophecy called What I Saw Today, and that's a pretty good name for the prophecy because it was literally what I saw that Sunday afternoon as the Lord gave me a veritable procession of the different forms of things that he calls the Nephilim. They are all connected. the aliens are connected to the Wendigo, who are connected to the fairies, who are connected to the, what do most people call them? It's a term I've learned from people writing on the Master's Voice. I think it's called a cryptid. I had never heard that term before, but they're connected to the cryptid, who are connected to the people of the sea that take so many different forms, who are connected to the little people, the elves, who are connected to the ghouls and the trolls and all the things that you thought were just J.R.R. Tolkien's active imagination. They are all connected. They are all fallen. They all fall under the umbrella of the fallen ones. And at the very peak of that unclean pyramid sit the fallen angels. Sit the fallen angels, Satan and those who fell and were cast out of heaven with him into the second heaven, and who the book of Revelation chapter 12 shows will come down to the earth. If you've read Revelation chapter 12 and you've read that there will be a war with Michael, and you thought this scripture will be fulfilled, this scripture had been fulfilled, this scripture has not yet been fulfilled. For the angels that will fall with Satan, the ones that I have seen in visions coming down to the earth with the swiftness of lightning. We will go into all of that. They're not here. If you missed the part of the scripture that said, are cast down to the earth, they will be cast down to the earth. And what a woeful time that will be for man. They are all connected. They are all wicked. There are no good fallen. If you are new to this channel, if you've been watching other things, tidbits from the History Channel, lies, whatever they have been telling you, that the Ascended Masters are coming to share their vast knowledge with us so that we can stop having wars and harming ourselves, I'm simply letting you know that the incursion of these fallen against man will happen again, and the outcome of it is to kill. When the iron comes to mate and mingle with the clay, the outcome is to utterly destroy the clay from the surface of the earth. And last of all, if you have any questions as to why would a loving God allow this, because a loving God also is a God of justice, a part of God's character that is hardly ever mentioned in the modern church. God is just presented as this one-dimensional love doll who just loves, 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 loves sin, loves wickedness, loves our selfishness, loves our refusal to repent and fall down before him and worship him as God. And so all he does is love, but I'm here to let you know that God is a kaleidoscope of a person. He has so many dimensions, and if you have not learnt all that God is, it is time for you to go to the scriptures for yourself and learn the word of God and who he really is from his word. The word of God is God's own testament about himself. People think that it's only the pastors who will be judged for deception. There are pastors out there who are doing a great job, working hard and diligently in the field. And then there are pastors who are only feeding their flock sugar. They're giving their flock things that they think their flock can absorb, but holding back the meat because they worry that it will not be a popular topic. Meanwhile, it is my recognition from what I have seen that God's people are thirsty and desperate for the full story, thirsty and desperate for the truth. And so it is necessary to know that the pastors are not fully responsible for your learning. You are responsible to open your own Bible and read it and get to know your own God. You're not following God through a pastor. You're not following God through me. You're on the narrow road with Jesus for yourself. And should your feet stray off for any reason, it's nobody's fault but your own. Last of all, the Lord said, they are a judgment. And so these things are not yet in hell. Some of them are bound. They will be loosed in the time of the end. And some of them are not bound at all. They are busy working with the United States government. For a fact, that's another prophecy that I have called the fallen ones will rule. I have another prophecy called the fallen ones will return. In all these things, God is showing how America is complicit in working with these unclean beings And this is one of the many reasons for which America will be judged. America will be judged for so many reasons. But this is just one of them, working with the fallen, working with beings that God has cast out and rejected, beings that will be a final judgment upon this end times sinful generation. And so thank you for being with me. I pray that this video will be a blessing to you. Please like the video, give it a thumbs up, vote it up so that it can go up higher in the algorithm. Subscribe to the channel if you desire to learn more, or even if you do not subscribe, at least visit the Russia and the China playlist so that you can understand the function of this prophecy channel. Visit the medical playlist where you will learn about things that God says that we should not do to the body. Visit the America series if you want to understand God's many reasons for judging this nation for sin. And thank you to everyone who supports this ministry. I pray for you all. Whether you give or not, you are in my prayers, because I believe that the Lord has set this ministry in the earth to be a light and a beacon to his people, and to draw them not to any person, but to draw them and point them to himself. So until I see you again, I'm Celestial. Take care and God bless you. Goodbye. Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. This morning, I have a brief word from the Lord. This is a right now effective word that I am bringing from the Lord Jesus Christ, and so I ask that you will please listen. I pray that your heart will be open to receive this word, and that you will have the understanding of the Holy Spirit given to you. This is a retroactive word, meaning that it applies to times of the past. It is a future word, meaning that it applies to times of the future. And it is a right now word speaking to people who I will simply call those in the valley of decision, meaning that you are right in the middle of perhaps thinking about the things that I'm going to speak about in this video. Perhaps you are performing or committing the sins that I'm going to speak about in this video. The Lord God has a word for you. This morning, I was spending time with the Lord in prayer, praise and worship, more like. Praise and worship is a very effective way to draw near to the Spirit of the Lord. And as I was drawing near to the Lord in praise and in worshiping the Lord on my knees, I began to see an image as if far away in front of me. And this image, because it was blurry, it was a blurry image, and it was far away, lifted up at the roof of my house. This image, the easiest way that I can put it is that it looked like the Sistine Chapel far away if you blurred it. So you know how the Sistine Chapel is painted with, I think it has a picture of God and man touching and the spark of life and whatever Michelangelo imagined heaven might look like. And so I saw this blur of colors, different colors blurred together against the backdrop of, you know, the heavens. And that's what it looked like to me. But as I continued to sing to the Lord and wonder, what is this that I'm seeing? The picture began to clarify. And what I saw was an image of the Lord Jesus Christ, very huge. And he had his arm crooked like this. And in the crook of the Lord's arm was simply millions of little babies, fat, naked, happy babies of every conceivable color, every skin color and race under the sun. And as I was looking at the Lord, he was looking at these millions and millions and millions of children with such love and tenderness. And he was bent over them like this, as a mother would bend over her child. And my heart just broke, because I knew that those were all the children who never got to come into this world because they had been aborted by their mothers and fathers. And when I say aborted by their mothers and fathers, I mean just that. I am a messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore I am not called to follow after the popular understandings that people like to cling to in this world, that when somebody commits an abortion, it is the woman's problem, it is the woman's sin. A woman cannot conceive of a child by herself. It only happened one time, and the millions of abortions that take place across the world now are not immaculate conceptions. Men put seed into the bellies of women, intemperate men, intemperate women who cannot possess their vessels in holy holiness, but want to participate in sexual activity ahead of the time, without preparation, without necessary maturity, and lest I leave out, without the first requirement for sexual activity and childbearing, which is marriage that is recognized by both the state where you live and the Lord Jesus Christ. People move into sexual activity, and then a child is conceived. But because people have more important things to think about, like their careers and their families and their lives ahead of them, you have your whole life ahead of you. I'm sure that phrase is familiar to many of us as we listen to this. The child's life is a secondary consideration, and the child is cut off. And when an abortion is committed, it is the sin of the mother who conceived that child, and it is the sin of the father who released that child into the mother's womb. The only time I would think that a man would be exonerated is when an abortion is committed without his knowledge, when the woman takes it into her own hands and goes and cuts short the child's life without the father's knowledge and without giving him a chance to say anything about it. And so I saw how much the Lord loves children. I saw him out over them as the shepherd that he is. The one who said, suffer not the little children, suffer them to come unto me. Let them come. I saw that Jesus is big enough to hold and receive all these little ones who have been sent home ahead of their time, who have not been given a voice, who have not been given the ability and the freedom to come into the world by the people who think that sex is merely an act of pleasing the body and do not understand that it is actually a very powerful spiritual communion in which two souls are joining, and in which the Lord, who conceived and created the act of sex, in which the Lord is expecting that should a child be conceived, he can trust this child to the people who are participating in this act. I saw the Lord holding these millions and millions of children, and as I was looking at this image, my heart was cut. My heart was cut for many reasons. My heart was cut because I can't even have praise and worship and have it be focused on my own relationship with the Lord. Because when a person is truly open to the Father, when a person truly loves God, the Lord will always want to talk about his feelings, because that is what happens with friends. A friend is somebody you can go to and say, I feel this way, or I have something to tell you. A friend is where you can trust what's on your heart. And so often when I come to commune with my friend, I get to see what all the other people who are not friends are doing. And so I am bringing this word here, and I'm letting you know by the Spirit of the Lord that if you have committed this act, if you have been part of the selfish multitude that has taken the life of a child, whether you thought that you were too young, if you were too young, you should not be indulging in the things of adults. Sexual activity is strictly the purview of adults. Sexual activity is strictly for adults who are in a committed, recognized marriage. And so I will say to all those who come to this channel asking me questions that truly are the height of foolery. I am in a relationship and I love her, but we're not married. Do we need to be married? Isn't marriage just a construct of the state? Did you see the state in existence when Abraham was with Sarai? Did you see anything mentioned about governments? Do you not understand that from the creation, from the foundation of the world, when the Lord brought a wife to Adam, that God gives a woman in marriage to a man, and therefore it is first and foremost a spiritual contract. And then because God's law honors to a large extent the laws that we have here. And so it is understood, for instance, as you look at the story of Isaac with Rachel and Leah, that when their marriage took place, their marriage didn't take place because a man and a woman came to a tent together, but the marriage was actually a public feast, which all of Laban's family was there and Isaac was there, and it was publicly recognized that this man is taking a wife today. So marriage definitely carries with it the public recognition that this man is taking this woman. So if the two of you are shacking up and bringing children into this world, you are in fornication. It does not matter how long you have been doing it. It does not matter if you are telling yourself that you are common law partners or whatever it is that you are creating to form a reality in your house. You are in fornication, and your children are living under the curse of your fornication. And so it behooves you to hear the truth, because these are the things that are not being addressed in the church. And this is why the church is wearing a coat of sin. As much as I am wearing this coat, the church of Jesus Christ is coated with her sin, and she will not hear the truth. Fornication is a sin. Conceiving a child outside of wedlock is a sin. Subsequent abortions to cover up the act of your fornication is a sin. If you are a married woman who has committed adultery, received a pregnancy, and aborted the child to hide it from your husband, as David and Bathsheba tried to kill Uriah to hide their sin, it is sin. And understand that it doesn't matter today, because I know that the larger portion of the audience of the Master's Voice lives in the Western world, and you may live in a world where these momentary constructs that we call governments, that we call states, have passed laws and enshrined in some of their constitutions that it is okay to take a child's life, because there's other considerations, like it may have been by force or your body, your choice. I want to let you know that when you perish, whether suddenly or at the end of a long and fruitful life, and you stand before the one with whom we all have to do. That is one of God's names, the one with whom we all have to do. It means that he is the one with whom every soul has to deal at the end of its life. He's not going to ask you if you're from Denmark, Sweden, or Ghana, or the United States of America. There will be no mention made of the laws that governed your earthly territory. He will simply ask you, what about the child that was in your womb at such and such a date, up to such and such a date? The laws of heaven are eternal. They never change. And you will be judged according to those laws. So whether you committed this in marriage without your husband's knowledge, or whether you committed this in marriage when you and your husband had 5 children and the both of you decided as an executive decision that you could not afford another child, whether you did this as a 14-year-old or as a 16-year-old, as a 21-year-old, as a 37-year-old business executive who was waiting for her next promotion and just couldn't afford to be pregnant because she would lose her competitive edge against her male compatriots. I'm speaking to you now and telling you that the Lord Jesus hates this sin, and he will judge each and every single person who has aborted a child without repentance. If you are someone watching this video and you have done this in your past and you are still carrying the guilt of this, understand that there is a very clear difference between guilt and repentance. You may feel guilty, but if you have not repented before the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are upon you, and should you lose your life, you will be judged in full for this sin. However, if you have committed this and you have genuinely cried out to the Lord as a born-again believer in repentance for this sin, and you have told the Lord that you fully recognize your error and the wickedness of your spirit, male and female, I am speaking to you. Men, do not think that you are exempt from what I am saying. If you are the father of a child and with your knowledge that child was terminated, you are as guilty as the mother. In speaking of abortion on the Master's Voice, the Lord has actually made known that every doctor, every technician, the anesthesiologist, the receptionist in the front office, if you are working in an abortion clinic and you are just the cleaner, the Lord holds you complicit in the death of every child. And he said he will judge from the top down. The mother who told her 16-year-old, Henrietta, you're just too young. We can't afford this now. We're going to send you to your grandmother in Cedar Springs, and she will help you take care of it. The grandmother who received Henrietta who did it, the boyfriend who drove her there, or the boyfriend who gave the money to pay for it, or the husband who gave the money to pay for it, the entire states that undergird this huge machinery that eats up the children of the world, hear my voice this day. If you are watching this video and this sin is upon you and you have not repented of it, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the day of judgment, you will bear the wrath of the punishment that goes with the taking of a human life. But if you have confessed this sin from your heart and the guilt is still troubling you, understand that this is the work of the enemy to continue to contaminate you with shame and guilt for a sin that the Lord God has already exonerated you from. To those who lie down in the bed of fornication, I am speaking to you in a generation that tells you that if you are burning with passion, God understands. That if you want to masturbate yourself, it is not the height of idiocy. For everybody knows that the act of sex contains two. But there you are with yourself. And the Lord says in many of the prophecies that I have already made videos for in the Sin series, that how unwise are you to kindle a fire in your members, in your own body, that you then have to put out. You are without a partner, for the act of love needs two. But you kindle a fire in your own members, and then you are forced to consummate the act with yourself. And yet you tell yourself, God knows my struggle, God knows my heart. God knows that you are a fornicator, a sinner, and if you do not stop this act and repent, you will be judged for it. In the early church, the Apostle Paul wrote, There arose a contention against a group of Jews in the book of Acts who were saying, yes, we see according to the testament and the testimony of Peter that God has indeed given the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles, but we still feel that in order for Gentile Christians to really be Christians, we think that they should be circumcised in their male parts and that they should also keep the law of Moses. But a huge contention arose, and the apostles actually convened and they had a meeting. And what they agreed was is, no, the Holy Spirit is the mark that these people have expressed the requisite faith in God to be considered Christians. And so we should lay upon them no heavier yoke. The only thing we should ask of them is that they should stop eating the food that comes from idols. So if you go to the temple and you offer food to the idol and then they take it and serve it in a place, these Gentile Christians should not eat that food. They should abstain from eating food that contains blood. They should abstain from eating anything that was strangled, that died by strangulation. And they should abstain from fornication. Imagine, so many sins upon the roster, and yet as far back as the book of Acts, the sin of fornicating, which is indulging in sexual activity without recognized marriage in the eyes of the state and the eyes of God, was the only sin that made it into one of the first apostolic meetings and was ensconced in a letter and then disseminated throughout all of the known world. That those who were leaving the following of idols and the following of false gods and the following of evil temples should know that human beings should not unite with anyone in sexual activity unless it is your lawful wife or your lawful husband. If you are an adulterer, you are a fornicator. If you are a masturbator, you are a fornicator. If you look at porn and stimulate yourself, whether in your mind through fantasies or upon your mortal body, you are a fornicator. If you are engaged and not yet married and thinking that the presence of a piece of metal upon your finger now entitles you to pick the fruit of the married, you are a fornicator. And should you lose your life, the Lord Jesus Christ will judge you to the full for this sin. So as you hear my voice, whether the demons in you become so angry, I am not moved. It was not man who sent me. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who showed me how many he is cradling in his arm because of the intemperance of man. Intemperance means that you do not have the self-control to wait for what you desire. So you want to pick the fruit while it is still green on the tree and then cut off the root and cast it into a pit latrine or cast it into a toilet or take the baby and lay it out in the forest so a wolf can eat it and think that those actions eradicate your sin. The Lord has marked every single thing down, and those without repentance will have no coverage whatsoever in the day of judgment. Feeling bad is not repentance. Opening your mouth and confessing your sin according to 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 to 10 is repentance. When you confess your sin to the Lord in full, God, I the woman did this. God, I the man knew of this and I condoned it. I paid for it, or at least I said nothing to stop her, and in my heart I was relieved. Because I'm only 19 years old and I've got a future with the NBA and I didn't want a kid to ruin it. If you do not confess to the sin, your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm here to let you know that to this day and to your dying day, that sin is upon you. If you are married and you fornicated before you were married and you thought that getting married fixed it, your sin is upon you. You must confess your sin, and then the blood of Jesus eradicates it from your record, so that when you die and they are reading out the record of your life, you will not be shocked to find out that just because you got married 5 years ago, it doesn't mean that for the previous 3 years, the fornicating with your boyfriend with the ring on your finger was eradicated. Marriage doesn't fix fornication. Repentance of the sin of fornication is the only thing that fixes fornication. Repentance of the sin of abortion is the only thing that fixes abortion. This is Celestial with the Master's Voice. Until I see you again, God bless you. Stay in the way. The way is narrow. The road is straight, and there are few who find it. Nevertheless, because Revelation 6 says that I saw before the throne of the Lamb a great multitude that had cleansed their robes and had come through great tribulation. This tells me that even if the road is narrow and the gate is straight, there are still and will be those who find it. So it is your decision and your choice to be of that way, who find the narrow road and find the straight gate and enter by it and stay saved. Till I see you again. Goodbye. Hello again and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. Please adjust your settings at the top menu or the bottom menu and click advanced or higher quality and bump your video settings up to 720 or 1080p so that you have a clear streaming picture to work with. Today I am continuing with the series that the Lord moved me to start. I think it would be almost a month ago now. I am calling it the Alien series, the Nephilim series, the Fallen series. And today I am, with the Lord's help, going to go over quite a few verses to help open the understanding of those who may have never heard these things before. If you've been watching this channel for even a minimum length of time, you would have noticed that the recent videos are covering the coming of extraterrestrials to this earth in the future time. It is talking about ships. It is talking about who and what these creatures are. But the Lord has been speaking to me in my private time to open up the understanding of those who have no idea why these creatures would come to the earth. So if you look at things like the History Channel and you look at other places that talk about the fact that there were alien races and unknown races on the earth in the ancient times, then you may just think, how did this incursion happen in history? Where did they come from? What makes aliens suddenly start coming to this world and trying to interact with humanity? The truth of the matter is that this stretches much further back. And in order to understand the Nephilim or any other type of being on the earth, you will have to understand what is at the core of Bible history. If you're just reading your Bible and you think that it's only a book that talks about the laws of God and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how man ought to live, how man ought to interact with man, and how man ought to interact vertically with his God. At the core of Scripture is an age-old story, and that age-old story is centered around the age-old truth of the battle of good versus evil. There are some people who say that evil does not exist, but I beg to differ. If you have working eyes or if you have ears that can even basically hear the headlines of today, evil is not some metaphorical construct. Evil is very real. Evil is the presence of everything that is anti-God. God himself representing truth, light, love, and everything that is righteous. Evil representing everything that is unrighteous, personified in the greatest of all evil, the personage of Satan. And so at the core of the Bible is a story. And this story is central to anyone's understanding of the end times. You cannot grasp the judgment of the end times. You will not be able to understand verses like where Peter says, this entire earth and all that is in it is reserved for fire. If you think, for instance, that Noah's flood that cleansed and purged the earth through water was too much and it was such a strong, severe, and unnecessarily harsh judgment, without understanding this ongoing saga that runs through the entire Bible as well as extra biblical text, like this very thin thread that you cannot get away from, then you will not understand why the earth is once more going to be consumed in fire by God's wrath. You will not understand why there are such harsh judgments, for instance, coming to the United States. Believe it or not, the United States also plays a part in this. And so today, with the Lord's help, I'm going to look at a few verses concerning fallen angels. Fallen angels. And so when I woke up this morning, how the Lord greeted me this morning was with a part of the verse that we can find in Jude chapter 1, verse 6. And he said to me, today you will speak of the angels which kept not their first estate. And so the fullness of that verse can be found here in Jude chapter 1 and verse 6. And it says, and the angels which did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. I think in the King James it says something closer to what the Lord says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Now we know that the great day is the day of the Lord, the day when God's wrath will be revealed against all mankind, all the earth, every high thing will be brought low. And God will unleash a fury here, which, if you're not aware of it, you're welcome to spend time in the book of Revelation, which actually gives a play-by-play of how things are going to go in the end times. And I think this would be a good time for me to point out that this is an end times prophecy channel. So I'm not here, Celestial, I am not here giving my own opinion. Many people, they interact or they attempt to interact and say, well, what do you think about this and what do you think about that? You need to understand that this is not a psychic forum. This is not a place where I'm sharing my views. I've always endeavored to say that on this video, on these videos, so that it can be understood. There are many people who have channels and they claim that these are prophecy channels, but they're sharing their views. They're saying things like, I guess if this happens, then that will happen. And they are attempting, I guess, from the scripture to bring about their own understanding and teach people. But that is not what is happening here. Here I am bringing you the word of the Lord that I have received. And therefore, I am a messenger that is bringing out to you what God wants his people. Whoever wants to count themselves his people, even if you are not saved, even if you find this video wherever you find it, God is attempting, and I say attempting because the result is finally with our hearts. Whether or not we receive the Lord's words, it's up to each individual heart that hears these words. This is not opinion and this is not conjecture. This is actual truth drawn from Scripture. So I am pulling from ancient writings that predate me by thousands of years, and I am speaking out to flesh out the things that God has said will be again. And so whenever there is surprise or there is shock or there is why are these judgments happening, these judgments have been written since time immemorial. The timing is now that they are going to start to play out. And so it's very necessary for us as believers, especially people who have been in the church a long time, but you have not been taught these things. It is crucial that you have this understanding, because without this deeper understanding of the battle of good versus evil and the coming of the unclean upon the earth at the last times, you might read things like Daniel, and you might read where Daniel talks about the iron that is mingled with the clay, and you might read the book of Revelation where it says that the devil and his angels were cast down. I spoke about that last video in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. If you don't understand what it's talking about, the casting down of the angels to the earth and things like that, you will not have a deeper understanding of what this earth is going to face in the end prophetic days. And so it says here, I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved his people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those of them who did not believe. This is Jude chapter 1 and verse 5. And so Jude is saying that I just want to have it on your mind that God is a person who has no problem with saving a group of people, but destroying out of that group those who walk in unbelief. Jude is reminding a new generation of Jews here, and he's saying, remember that God saved all of his people from Egypt. So God did not leave any Israelite behind. But then when the Israelites were in the wilderness, which is the time of purging and testing, God had no problem telling the bulk of them, all who were over the age of 20, that because their hearts were so hard and because they would not listen and hear the prophetic direction of Moses, who had been sent to lead them into the promise that God had for them. Jude is telling them here, don't forget that God first saved everybody, but then destroyed a great multitude from among them from unbelief. And then he goes on to say, and even the angels who would not stay in their proper place, but they left their first estate, God has now kept them in everlasting chains under darkness for him to judge at the great day. And so here I will share a vision that is on the Master's Voice. I cannot remember exactly what prophecy it is in, but I have seen this image many times of the Lord, and the first time I saw it was maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and it was very, very frightening. Actually, I will speak of another vision. The very first time that the Lord showed me that fallen angels were a thing, it was in the year 2006. So the Lord had not yet started to open deeper truths to me about the fallen and what was really going on in my Bible and what was really happening in Genesis 6 and things like that. I was sitting in bed and I was praying. I was sitting up in bed and the room was dark and I was praying and I was speaking earnestly to the Lord. I was just laying out my heart to the Lord, as is my fashion, to always speak to the Lord in the morning and at night before I go to sleep or right after I wake up. And this vision came before me, and it was such a scary, scary image that I remember saying to God, please never show me that again. I did say that to the Father. I was very young at the time, and this is what I saw. I saw myself as a watcher upon a great hill or mountain, and it was nighttime. The sky was pitch black, and there was a storm brewing. So there were great thunderheads in the sky, and upon that mountain were kneeling about 8 princes. This is what the knowledge was put in my heart. These are the princes. This is the judgment of the dark princes. And these princes, each one wore upon his head a black hood. So you know, in ancient times, when you were about to be executed for a crime, they would put a black hood upon your head, and then they would hang you or they would cut off your head. And The rationale behind this was you are going to be put to death. You should not be able to watch or perceive your death coming. And so as a form of a small mercy, they put a hood on your head so that when the executioner actually rolls his axe or when they pull the lever and you fall through, you don't know the exact moment that you're going to die. I saw these eight huge men. But they were bigger than men. They were very, very big, and they were on their knees, and their hands were bound behind their backs, and they were dressed all in black. Some of them had capes, so they were wearing black clothing, and then some of them had capes. Some of them were just kind of dressed like Zorro, and they were all on their knees. Standing next to them was the biggest, blackest angel I have ever seen. This angel was black from head to foot. His entire body was black. His skin was black, not the skin of a black person. He was as black as night, as black as this inky sweater that I'm wearing. His whole self was black. He was all black. And he carried a black sword, huge black wings, and he stood there waiting to execute the judgment of the Lord against these eight that were kneeling at the top of that mountain. And this entire scene, and the Lord said to me in my heart, behold, the judgment of the princes. And this scene terrified me so much because I could see it projected. It was as if it was upon my bedroom wall, but it wasn't actually projected on the surface of the wall. It was just before me. It was all I could see. I could not see my room. I just saw myself standing on this mountain with these eight about to have their heads cut off by this mighty, mighty angel. Whom was death? Whom was judgment? Who was many things balled up into one? And my heart failed me. And I said, Lord, please. And the Lord directed the angel, and the angel moved as if to take the hoods off one of the faces of these princes. But I knew, I felt that if I as a human being was to see the face of whoever was under that hood, my heart would stop. And I cried out to the Lord, Lord, please. And the entire thing went away. That was the very first time, it would be 2006, that I saw such a thing. And so I am talking about the angels which kept not their first estate. And now I will continue to the vision that I said is on the Master's voice. It has appeared in one or two prophecies, and it was a picture that I saw quite often. And so I wrote it down in my journal. What the Lord showed me was a very massive volcano. So I saw here a mountain here on the earth. This is not a heavenly mountain. There are mountains in heaven, but this was not a heavenly mountain. This was an earthly mountain, and underneath that mountain was an active volcano. So basically, the mountain was an active volcano. And deep in the bowels of the mountain, where the lava runs, we've seen in the movies that lava runs, but it may not fill every chamber. So as long as the magma, the lava, is deep down in the chambers of the mountain is unbearably hot, but it's not full and spilling out lava. I saw a creature chained. I cannot call this a man, even though the shape of it was a man. But it was very huge in the body with impossible muscle definitions. There's no human being on earth who can work out to that level to have that many muscles. This person was ripped, and every single part of the body that has a muscle was showing. And I saw this creature from the back. It had no hair. It was exactly shaped like a bald man. So it looked like a very huge humanish bald man. And this creature had massive chains on both wrists. So these huge, huge, huge chains, links as big as, you know, the links of a chain, massive links. It had huge iron chains on both hands. And this mountain was hot, but what was bothering this beast, this man creature underneath the mountain, was not the heat of the mountain. He was untroubled by the heat. Watching him, this knowledge came to my heart. It is not the heat of this mountain that bothers this man. He is bothered by the fact that he is chained. Because he is chained, he is enraged, and I felt in me the rage of this man creature. It was such an insurmountable rage and hatred against the ones who had put him there. And every now and then, whenever I would see this vision, he would raise his hands and take hold of the slack in the chain and then go, and he would beat these chains upon the earth. He would smash these chains upon the earth. Under this volcano, this active volcano, in an attempt to break the chains. And God will always show me this to confirm to me what the scripture says in Jude chapter 1 and 6. And the angels who would not keep their proper domain, their proper estate, their first estate, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. I want to announce to you here, in case you have never heard it in a church sermon where they were telling you about how to have influence and how to release your inner David, that underneath the mountains of this physical earth upon which we live, the Lord has kept the 200 watchers who came down from heaven, came down from their abode to sleep with human women, to take of them wives of whom they chose. And we go now to Genesis chapter 6. Just bear with me here. Genesis chapter 6. And I will only read from verses 1 to 4. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were men of old, men of renown. So we know the word renown is, the word renown means to be of a great history. It means to be of a great storyline. So men of renown are men whose fame travels the earth by reason of their deeds, by reason of the things that they have done, by reason of the great and the mighty works that they have accomplished. But I say to you that these sons of God, if you would only take the time to open your concordance, or even if you don't own a concordance, simply go online and look up the phrase Bnei HaElohim or Bnei Elohim, as they are put in some translations, you will find that these sons of God are not the sons of Seth, as has been tiresomely taught to the modern day church for 50 or 60 years or however long they've been telling people that these were just righteous men who descended from Seth. I'm not going to get into this right now because there are so many teachings on the Master's Voice that go through this in detail. All I will say is that these sons of God were actually 200 angels from a class called the Watchers. The Watchers are angels that have been appointed by the Lord, and they sit in the heavenly places almost like watching eyes, like eyes that the Lord has set around the rim of the earth, and they watch the earth according to the command of the Lord Jesus, and they write down everything that happens in it. Everything that you and I do is written down in the books. So if you've ever heard in the Bible that the court was called and the elders were seated and the books were open and you're thinking, oh no, it's just the book of life. No, I submit to you that there are multiple books that will be opened at the end of time. Our lives are recorded in excruciating detail. And this is how God can confidently say to all humanity, say to all flesh, we will answer for every idle word. We will answer for every deed. We will answer for everything that we left undone. We will answer for every thought. If you're wondering how will God know every thought, don't think that just because God is omniscient, that he's taking the time to watch you with camera eyes. No, all of this stuff is what is considered petty stuff, and it is assigned to a class of angels called the Watchers. And the reason the Watchers fell is that these ones in the book of Enoch, the Lord has instructed me to read Enoch chapter 7 on camera, and I will do that. Instead of all the Watchers keeping their eyes on the earth to simply record, a group of Watchers became transfixed, and this is things that the Lord has taught me personally. They became transfixed by watching what God called human interactions, particularly the act of love. The act of love that is only supposed to be practiced between a married man and a married woman. The angels became very perplexed by watching this act in which human beings give and take love, fellowship, intimacy, and togetherness. And they began to ponder on it. What is it that human beings draw from this? What is it that humanity finds from this? Why do they become the way that they become when they fall in love? And this is what inserted a hook into the heart of this class of angels and what eventually led to their fall. And so I now proceed to read from, please excuse me, trying to handle everything here at the same time. I now proceed to read from the book of Enoch, and I will go over chapter 7 on camera as the Lord has instructed me. I already read for you where it says, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, this is Genesis chapter 6, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Now listen to what Enoch, which is not in the Bible, says. It happened after that the sons of men had multiplied in those days, and daughters were born to them, elegant and beautiful. And when the angels, the sons of heaven, beheld them, they became enamored of them, means to fall in love, saying to each other, come, let us select for ourselves wives from the children of men, and let us have children. Then their leader, Samyaza, said to them, I fear that you may perhaps be indisposed to the performance of this enterprise. He was basically saying, I worry that now that we have made this decision, some of you may change your mind to do this thing. Now, why would an angel say that?